Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report and a company update, this time coming from ISO Energy, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol ISO and on the OTCQX under the symbol ISENF. Chatting with the president and CEO, Craig Perry. Now, Craig, let's follow up on drill results that were released just yesterday, October 13th. Headline number says ISO Energy drills almost 50% U308 over 5 meters in the southern step-out drill hole, hole number 64. Now, this is all occurring on this LaRock East property and at this hurricane discovery or deposit that you guys really just discovered not that long ago, a little over a year ago. But the drilling, and the key here is on figure two, the drilling on this western side of the deposit and right pretty much up to the property boundary, this is where we're seeing the highest grade results. Now, on top of this almost 50% uranium over 5 meters, we also had drill hole 57 and drill hole 62 that was released in this news release that was a little over 6% U308 over 4.5 meters. Craig, give us a little bit more color on what these new drill results on the southern part of this deposit are telling you, please.
Sure. Hi, Corey. Thanks for having us back on, and what a great time to be back on. You know, the news we put out overnight is simply astonishing in my book. You know, these are some of the very best drill holes in any commodity drilled around the world in the past few years. As you say, they're 5 meters at nearly 50% U308, extraordinarily high grade. If you put that into gold equivalent terms, that's the equivalent of 5 meters at about 15 ounces per ton gold equivalent. So, and of course, the Athabasca Basin is home to the most dense accumulations of value in the Earth crust. And, we're very pleased that these results continue to deliver. The deposit continues to grow. It's fast proving itself to be a large, very high grade deposit. And so we're just thrilled to bits. I think the big surprise for us, Corey, is that we were drilling along what we call our eye fault. That was where the high-grade zone sort of sat, and we thought that fault was the locus of mineralization. But what's becoming clear from the drilling we're doing to the south of that now is that the J fault, the mineralization extends all the way down there. So what these results are effectively delivering us is a doubling of the size of the deposit, and that's massive news. It's an extraordinary outcome. We're just thrilled. I'm very, very happy for the exploration team. They've done a tremendous job, and it's starting to show in our share price again. The share price has moved up strongly in the last 24 hours. We're still drilling. We've still got two rigs turning. We're drilling along that newly defined southern high grade zone. I think people can expect a lot more positive news over the next couple of months as we continue with the program.
So what are some of the step outs in terms of this southern extension that you're drilling right now?
Yeah, so we're on that section that hole 64 sits on. We've drilled another essentially 30 meters to the south, so that zone was about 25 to 30 meters wide. It's now looking like it's over 60 meters wide. And of course, the extraordinary thing about it is those grades. You don't need much of that material to have a mine, and we've got a lot of that material. So, I guess what we are now confident is that this will become a standalone mine one day itself. A lot more work to do, of course. We've still got a lot of drilling to do and then on into studies. But, it's shaping up to be a truly tremendous deposit.
Now, just to remind everybody, when you're looking at figure two, the area on the western side of that property boundary, that is held by Cameco. So it really does look like this high grade does extend into Cameco's property as well. Craig, can you give us another reference to figure two here, the overall scale of what we're seeing in this high grade envelope?
Sure. So, of course, there's a lower grade halo there that's about 300 meters long by 80 meters wide. And then on The western margin there, we've got a zone that really is only about 150 metres long by 50 metres wide. And that's that high grade zone. It's at 320 metres depth, which is a very good mining depth, particularly for Orano. The French giant conglomerates has a mining technique called SABRE, surface access borehole resource extraction technology, where they basically drill a borehole, ream out a larger diameter plug of mineralization down at that depth, and bring it up through the borehole through the drill pipe. You know, very much amenable to that sort of technology at those depths. And of course, we're only 40 kilometres away from Orano's McLean Lake Mill, which is underfed and runs out of ore in about 6 or 7 years' time. So, you know, we're uniquely and strategically positioned to help Orano out, which is important. Of course, you know, that mill, Orano, feeds its product into Areva, the nuclear energy giant in France. So they've got to keep those reactors turning and producing power. And, you know, I can see eventually hurricane material going off to France. So, you know, there's strategic import to what we're doing here, what we've discovered as well.
So is there any balance, too, between the lower-grade uranium mineralization? It's still around 1% out to the east, which is still decent grade for a uranium project, but we can get distracted, obviously, by this extremely high grade. Is there a chance here of also utilizing that lower-grade material?
Look, I think going forward, absolutely, and later on, but of course you would kick off mining at that high-grade zone. You know, importantly, we still haven't defined the boundaries of the deposit yet. We're still open to the south. So, you know, in these last few holes that we drill in this program, we'll be looking to test those southern limits of the deposit. But suffice to say, it's growing all the time, and that will be our focus going forward. And Corey, I should also mention, you know, I just did a desk presentation to Haywood's. I think we had about 60 people on the line. Haywood, Colin Healy there, who I think is, you know, one of the very best, if not the best, uranium analyst in the space. He put out his research note on us, first formal research coverage we've had from a broker or a bank. And Colin put a target on us of $2, so we're trading about $1.15 today. So he's got a target price of $2 there. Very good report as well, if your listeners can get their hands on it.
So, in full disclosure, I am also a shareholder of ISO Energy. It's been a fun ride so far. But Craig, I also want to follow up on a comment that was made on the back of our interview a little under a month ago that I posted on the weekend show. There was a listener that came in and said, why would you spend your time on uranium when you have the precious metals market just running and uranium's been kind of stuck in the mud? My argument to that is, if you find a good company, it doesn't necessarily even matter what the underlying resource or metal is doing. The company can still create value. But give us a comment on the uranium market and maybe why it continues to be a bit slow.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, before I get to that, you know, it's a good question. And if people go to our website, isoenergy.ca, and check out our presentation, one of the first slides on the presentation is the share price chart of NexGen Energy. And of course, we're a spin out of NexGen Energy. When we started, Lee Courier, Chris McFadden, Andy Brown and myself, we started NexGen back in 2011. We did our initial financing at 5 cents. We discovered the Arrow deposit 2 years later. And a couple of years after that. So within 4 years, we'd taken the company from 5 cents a share all the way as high as $4.40 a share. So discoveries still matter. Doesn't matter how bad the market is. We're a bit uniquely positioned here at ISO Energy because we've made a discovery right at the start of a bull market. Of course, we saw the uranium price rise from the start of the year up until April, from $20 a pound up to $32 a pound. It's flatlined a little bit at that sort of $30 to $32 per pound mark for the past few months. But we've seen massive cutbacks in production because no one makes money at those sorts of prices. There's more cutbacks happening all the time. And the market is now undersupplied by about 50%. The global market's about 184 million pounds per annum, and we think primary production today is about 100 million pounds. So that supply-demand imbalance has to correct prices at some point in the near future. We think that the utilities that buy our product are working through their inventories as we speak, but at some point in the coming months, we're going to see a serious pickup in uranium prices because it's a completely underfed market.
Yeah, and you know what? Again, it just goes back to finding individual stocks that are doing good work, and well, especially when it's being led by the drill bit. That can, it doesn't matter what the underlying metal's doing, that can help build a company, and hey, it can also be supported by a move higher in the uranium price. But as you mentioned, uranium has actually moved higher this year. If anybody has any follow-up questions for Craig over at ISO Energy, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. I'll follow up with Craig on the back of some more drill results and to get those questions answered. Craig, thanks for your time today.
Fantastic. Thanks, Corey.